Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Flex. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson, recapping week one. We actually have games to talk about here. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff today. What had happened was, told you so, waiver wire pickups, fire and ice, but want to kick it off with just some general thoughts, overall themes kind of week one. And the biggest thing that I'm going to come out with and start the show with here today, Bo, is don't panic. Okay, don't overreact to too many things. Injuries aside, if injuries happen, then you've got to react and you've got to panic a little bit. But don't panic if guys that you drafted in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th round, in that range, those mid-tier groups, you know, your kind of second group outside of your studs, if they didn't play well, don't freak out. These things are ebbs and flows, different games, and all of these teams had all summer long to game plan for this first week, so week two will look completely different than week one.
So what if you lost multiple games in multiple leagues by being derailed by a defense that scored you negative points on multiple teams? Time to freak out.
Who are you referring to, Bill?
Now, this happened to two defenses, actually, that I saw. The biggest one that I'm referring to is the Saints defense. As we were talking in the pregame, you know, I try to stay away from Saints players. That's my team. I don't like bringing emotional connectivity into my fantasy football decisions. So the one player that I did end up with on a lot of teams because of where I pick a defense is the Saints defense, who was very, you know, underrated based off last year. A lot of people want to remember that Marcus Williams play that kind of didn't put us out of the playoffs as the overwhelming play of the Saints defense. And without Marcus Williams in that game, we don't even make that comeback. So I have the Saints D on a lot of teams, and this was, I think, kind of an outlier defense for them. The personnel is still the same. They had some play calling issues on the defensive side of the ball, the Saints did, as they allowed 48 points versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Fitzmagic, man, Fitzmagic might be real.
And with the don't panic, don't overreact to Fitzmagic. We'll get into that in just a few. Don't expect him to do that ever again, let alone next week or week 7 or week 8. That was the best game of his career, and he's in his mid-30s. The Saints, it's weird, man. Week 1 is weird for them. Yeah, they've lost 5 straight opening games, 7 of 8, and it's just, you just kind of throw it out. Obviously, there's some issues in the secondary, but don't expect the Browns to come in and do that to them coming up this next week. And I imagine the other defense you're talking about, I had them in a couple leagues, or the Chargers.
Yeah, yep,
they had -3 for me in one league, a league I wound up losing thanks to Amari Cooper not showing up last night.
Well, negative points from any fantasy position, even kicker, is hard to digest, because it's a kind of a two-way swing there. It's not only negative the points that you were negative, but it's no positive points either. So, I mean, say an average kicker has 5 points in a game and he gets you -3, that's an 8-point swing, you know? So,
and those two defenses who we just said had negative points in week one, awful starts to the season. I love them both in week two.
Absolutely.
Saints back at home against the Browns. And then you've got the San Diego Chargers. They do have to travel across the country, but they are at Buffalo in what looks like maybe the worst offense in the entire league. Other guys that had terrible week ones that people were counting big things on, I mentioned a moment ago, Amari Cooper. I was trying to think of the best analogy I could in other sports. He's like Michigan football to me, okay? Every year, it's the shiny thing. Oh, look, we got Shea Patterson. Oh, look, we got John Gruden, okay? And it's year three. This is supposed to be his breakout year. Crabtree's gone, so maybe he'll get the red zone looks. He had 3 targets in a game where they were playing catch-up in the fourth quarter, and he's one I'm a little worried about, but I'm not going to overreact, and you got to continue to play him at least through the first couple weeks.
I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that happened to Amari Cooper last night was the Rams defense. You know, I can fully expect Amari Cooper to rebound. I'm still behind Amari Cooper for having like a breakout season. I think it's going to be a great one for him. You can look at this Rams defense. They might finish the season, I think we said this a couple weeks ago, as the number one defense in the NFL, and they very well could be. It's all going to be for them about the locker room. They bring in a lot of egos. Aqib Talib, you know, Marcus Peters, both have had issues.
Volatile,
but
guys,
if they can play together, they're going to be brilliant. And they were last night versus that Las Vegas, Oakland Raiders defense.
Whatever.
Offense.
That squad. A couple other names just to toss out there to don't freak out, don't overreact to their poor performances in week one. Chris Hogan for the New England Patriots. He had one catch, I think for 11 yards it was, on the 5 or 6 targets. Yep. Dorsett severely outplayed him. He's a guy we'll talk about coming up a little bit later on in the show. Kareem Hunt, he didn't have a good game in what was a blowout really initially with the Chiefs and the Chargers, and wound up scoring a lot of points. Honestly, outside of Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, nobody on the Chiefs did anything really. And Devontae Freeman is another person for me, even though it looks like, you know, it's going to be a running back by committee in Atlanta, which we all kind of expected to a certain degree. But I wouldn't freak out for Freeman. And in fact, I like to him to have a big bounce back week, which we'll get to again later on in the show.
I would pay attention to Freeman's injury status as he kind of got banged up on Thursday night a little bit, which is why Tevin Coleman got more of the run. And that happens during a season. That's why you have to like Tevin Coleman, because on any given Sunday, he's going to have a great game because Devontae Freeman might be kind of held out a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. But as far as another week one key that I have, man, I mean, look at these Cleveland Browns. You think these Cleveland Browns are for real? Now, the best start since 2004, and it was a tie. But hey, still the best start since 2004. This Browns defense appears to be legit, although Big Ben on the road is a real split, probably the most real split in fantasy or real life football. 5 picks. The weather was pretty crappy in this Cleveland Browns-Pittsburgh Steelers game, which had a lot to do with the sloppy play. But this Cleveland Browns offense, man, actually looked a little decent. Tyrod Taylor played kind of crappy, but Carlos Hyde appears to be the real deal. He is going to be the guy over there, it looks like. Probably want to use Nick Chubb. Goal line situations, we kind of saw some of that. Jarvis Landry with a bunch of catches. Josh Gordon finally shows up. You know, he was only in for like 3 plays. Hugh Jackson said that he was going to be kind of on a snap count or an innings cap, if you will. 1 catch for a touchdown. Cleveland Browns might be a legit team in this NFL. They definitely don't look like the worst team in the league.
All right, in a word, I'm going to say no as far as are the Browns there. Here's one of the big things. You brought up Big Ben on the road. The Steelers had 5, I think maybe 6 turnovers. I think they had one there in overtime as well.
5 picks alone, yeah.
So when you have that many opportunities on offense, you better do something. So if you take those turnovers away, which you can't do that because their defense, you know, force those turnovers, but don't expect the Browns to have 5 or 6 turnovers every game, especially, again, going into week 2. We're talking about the Saints defense who had I think the Saints just trounced the Browns in week 2. The thing I did take away is I was reading into the whole Josh Gordon situation, which he's always one of the most intriguing players in fantasy every year. And what they did with him is they didn't really play him too much early on. And it was because of the hamstring and the cold weather. Yep. And they didn't want him to get into a bad situation. But they said if they got into a spot late where they needed someone to make a play, they were going to put him in. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And he just kind of Randy Moss the dude.
Yeah,
just,
and that's part of his skill set.
So the only 2 guys that I really want in this offense moving forward from a fantasy perspective for me are Jarvis Landry, of course, in a PPR, and I like Josh Gordon as well. I'm still avoiding that running back backfield.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde could be a good flex play. If you have Carlos Hyde in your flex spot every week, I think you're going to be pretty okay moving forward, and he could be a good bye week fill-in, too. He's not somebody I would want as my RB1, but he wasn't drafted as that either. And so unless you're facing injury, you know, Carlos Hyde as a flex every week, roll it on out there.
Next theme for me, what a weird week for tight ends. You had season-ending injuries to Delanie Walker, possibly to Greg Olsen as well. We're recording this on a Tuesday morning, so the injury updates haven't come out for a lot of people. He injured the same foot he's had issues with in the past. He was already thinking about retirement over the offseason. I think we have seen Greg Olsen play his last snap in the NFL. So you have those 2 to start, which are really top 8 tight ends as far as the draft goes. Gronk did his thing. Gronk did Gronk things. 123 yards and a touchdown. He looks as good as he ever has looked. But you had awful games from Kelce, Jimmy Graham, Evan Ingram, Trey Burton, David Njoku, who got injured there as well. And then you had big games for Will Disley.
Yeah.
Which, exactly. Who? That's literally what I have written down here. Who? With a question mark. And then George Kittle, he actually looked like the real deal there in San Francisco, I believe, 90 receiving yards. And
of course, Marquise Goodwin going out in San Francisco trying to come back with that quad injury. Couldn't really make it. Gives the opportunity for Kittle to step her game up. That's kind of the tight end landscape, though, isn't it? You know, you've got Gronk, which when Gronk's healthy, you can rely on Gronk to have a pretty high ceiling and a very high floor every week. But that's pretty much the tight end spot in the National Football League. There's no really, you know, Kelce maybe. Then, you know, you got your other, like, guys that are back there. But none of them are extremely consistent, which is why drafting early on tight end is not something that we recommend doing.
Any other themes that you wanted to get into before we move on to the next thing here, Bo?
You think that Seattle defense of old is done? We kind of played on this with the Denver running game.
It's interesting because that was a really good game. That was one of the best games of the week. It's just as far as back and forth, a number of different people scoring. Case Keenum's the quarterback in Denver, which has been their best quarterback since Peyton Manning going back 4 or 5 years ago at this point. But Denver's got a lot of weapons.
They've
got Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Courtland Sutton, this new guy, Phillip Lindsay, who we'll get to in just a minute. I mean, Royce Freeman, they have all sorts of weapons to roll out there. So I don't think Seattle, I think they're done in the sense of being an elite defense, but I don't think they're going to be like a walkover type of defense. I think they're just going to kind of be average.
Not a defense you want to start in fantasy necessarily, but not one you're going to pick on either.
Exactly, 100%.
We'll see. You're right. There are a lot of weapons there, but it's still Case Keenum. It's not like Case Keenum is, you know, lighting the world on fire as a quarterback throughout his career. You know, the running game did show up, although it was not as one guy centered as we thought it was going to be. And then, of course, you know, Emmanuel Sanders goes off. Demaryius Thomas has a good game too. I mean, we're still talking about Case Keenum here, which is why I bring it up. You know, the Broncos paid Case Keenum for a reason, but it's still Case Keenum.
It is still Case Keenum. That's true. It is still Case Keenum. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still Ryan Fitzpatrick. Don't get too worried about all that. But moving on to our next segment, this is something we're going to do every week. What had happened was.
What had happened was.
So, Matt Stafford, man, this is a part we're going to kind of make fun of ourselves here, self-deprecating, let you know what we got wrong. Don't worry, in a few minutes we'll let you know what we got right as well. But we're going to start off with the negative. Man, Stafford. And I think I'm just going to call him Matthew until he starts playing well. Matthew, what's going on, man? Four picks at home to the Jets?
That was ugly.
Who I do like the nickname for their defense that they were referring to on Monday Night Football. I guess the secondary is calling themselves New Jack City, which was a lot of fun. But I don't know what the hell happened here. I mean, the Lions, people didn't expect much of them this season, but Stafford's been a very solid quarterback over the last couple of years. And for him to come out of the gate, granted, he hurt his knee, then he got banged up on a high-low hit, and he was just getting destroyed all night. This Jets defense was flying around, but Stafford was a severe disappointment in week one.
So going back to the New Jack City thing, though, it was pretty sad to see the announce team for ESPN for this game. Like, two of them had no idea what New Jack City even
was. What does that mean?
One of them was trying to describe the movie to them.
Yes.
And because they've got nicknames for each other on that team. I forget exactly what they are, but that Jets secondary led by Jamal Adams, man, former LSU Tiger, is pretty good.
And as the announcers were describing,
it was horrible, man.
It is about the swagger, and they did bring the swagger. And how about all the Jets fans there last night there as well, taking over Ford Field? What do you got as your first?
So what had happened was Chris Hogan with one catch for 11 yards, and he was a fire player for me last week, and he very well should have been. This was very much an outlier game for Chris Hogan. You can go forward. He is going to be the Patriots' number one receiver, especially while Edelman's out, and maybe even after Edelman comes back. Now, they don't have a very favorable matchup this week in Jacksonville, but it's Tom Brady, all right? Tom Brady had a good game against the Jaguars last year. I think it's going to be more a Gronk game than a Hogan game, but don't freak out like you were saying about Chris Hogan. But, hey, I did call that one. If you started Chris Hogan because I told you to, I apologize, but I'm not a fortune teller.
Before we move on to that, and this doesn't – I don't have any of these in my fire and ice, so not spoiling anything here. I actually like Hogan coming up in this week because I think the Jags are going to go out of their way to shut down Gronk and make someone else beat them. Everyone tries to do that. Let's see if the Jags can.
Do you think they use corners on Gronk like some teams have in the past? And that's kind of been a 50-50. I can see Jalen Ramsey. He's a big-bodied guy. A.J. Boye, not necessarily. But Jalen Ramsey's a big-bodied dude. I can see him maybe putting Jalen Ramsey on Gronk. I just don't think he's going to win too many one-on-one jump ball type scenarios, and that's what Gronk's.
I think you could see that a lot. And I just think by game flow, I think, you know, they'll start to cover Dorsett, who had a good game. Philip Dorsett, that is. And I just think Hogan's going to wind up with like one of those games where he's got 45 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
I think he'll bounce back.
What had happened was Mike Gallup, one catch for 9 yards. Okay, I mean, he was a flyer anyway. It's not like you were going to start him in week one, but I do think that big things could be coming for Mike Gallup. Now, the biggest what had happened was that I had this week was Mike Evans. So I got a few receiver calls wrong. Last year, Marshawn Lattimore shut Mike Evans down twice. They got a nice little rivalry going. There was a push him and a shove him going on in one game. The defensive play calling and personnel placement for Dennis Allen in this game was absolutely horrible. I don't know why he thought that putting Marshawn Lattimore up on the line to try to check Mike Evans was a good idea, but he got burnt twice by doing that. So it was a bad call on my part. And it's not like you were going to bench Mike Evans, but if you had some other ones with better matchups that you might make, like Marquise Goodwin or something like that, maybe you start him in front of. Mike Evans finishes with 147 yards and one touchdown. If the play calling for the Saints doesn't improve as far as the secondary goes. They were all just out of place. They have better personnel this year than they did last year with the addition of Kurt Coleman, who wasn't on the field for a couple of plays or the reason why they brought him in for it, but that's a whole different podcast. If the play calling for the secondary doesn't improve by Dennis Allen this week, you can look for Josh Gordon to maybe do some of the same stuff to the Saints secondary. Doesn't matter how good of a cover corner you are, you put Marshon Lattimore up on the line 4 feet, 4 yards in front of Mike Evans. If he doesn't get him on the line, Mike Evans is going to run right past him. And that's what happened. So bad call on me. That's what had happened.
All right, next up for me, what had happened was, and this is a guy that we've talked about through the first couple podcasts, Jimmy Graham, man. Jimmy, my biggest thing for this was game flow. And this isn't covering my ass or anything like that. Aaron Rodgers going down in the first half, which everybody in the fantasy community, whether you're playing somebody who had the Packers, it's just a mess when Rodgers is down because it takes out their whole receiving core. The running back goes down. I mean, it's just an absolute mess. I will say, before we go any further with Jimmy Graham, we'll find out more about Aaron Rodgers later this week. Hopefully he still doesn't have some sort of ligament tear or dangerous injury, some serious injury. I will say, as bad of a year as DeShone Kizer had last year with the Cleveland Browns, he is a much better quarterback than Brett Hundley. So it's not 100% doomsday. Everybody is going to be demoted quite a bit, but I still think guys like Davante Adams and the running back Jamal Williams will be usable moving forward. I don't think it's going to be just a complete cluster there. But Jimmy Graham, everybody saw that game on Sunday night. Rodgers goes down in the first half. It's all Bears in the first half. And then when they're coming on that comeback, it was up-tempo, high speed, getting the ball out to the receivers. And Jimmy Graham just wasn't involved in that, and that he's not that type of player at all. So if you're going to be up in this high tempo, up tempo offense, no huddle, trying to run a number of plays, it's just not something that Jimmy Graham's going to do at this point in his career.
Is that not the Packers offense, though?
Well,
a lot of no huddles, a lot of fast pace, you know, which is the reason why I'm kind of down or is not as on board with this Jimmy Graham having this breakout, not breakout, but great season all of a sudden, this renewal, if you will, with Aaron Rodgers, just because he simply does not look to the tight end. Now, I do think all the experts are saying that looks like an MCL based on how his leg was fallen on by the defensive player. And then, you know, they were trying to examine the brace or whatever he had on underneath his pants and whatnot. So whatever, he came in and played. It's going to take his knee coming out of socket, I think, to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. But I do think that if this injury does keep on and he's dealing with it all season, I think that could actually help Jimmy Graham, because he's going to lose his play extending ability and mobility moving out of the pocket. He's going to be looking for those short and intermediate routes some more. So that could make Jimmy Graham a bigger factor going forward.
And look, over the next couple of weeks, if it is an MCL sprain, something that where Rodgers isn't as mobile, they are going to want to try to establish the run more moving forward. So Jamal Williams could have some big weeks, and then Aaron Jones will be coming back in week 3. So we'll see how that all turns out. Royce Freeman. Who the hell is Philip Lindsay? All right.
Yeah, this guy.
Well, he's a guy who played at Colorado and has great speed and looks like he's going to be a part of the passing game. We'll talk about him in the waiver wire pickup. One little note that I did see about him, his nickname is the Tasmanian Devil, which is pretty awesome. But now we're going to get on to Told You So. Bo, you kick us off.
This is the one where we get to gloat a little bit, you know, and if you listened to the podcast last week and you took our advice, you already know that you probably won your game because of our sound advice here. But there are a couple of matchups and a couple of calls that we each made where we got them right, and some of them where we were on the opposite sides of the fence, and we want to be able to rub it in each other's face, because what fun would that be if we didn't? First one I've got on here is Cooper Kupp, 5 for 52 and a touchdown. Look, Cooper Kupp got left alone in the slot last night, got the end zone, got the touchdown. I brought up last week how he was third in the NFL in red zone targets. You can look for that to continue even this week. The biggest one I had for me, though, I was going to segue right into that with your Jimmy Graham call, was, two catches for 8 yards off of 4 targets.
I know, I saw it.
And now, I told you so also, Davante Adams, 5 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown. We got into it with some guys out in the bullpen after last week's show, where everybody was thinking I was all crazy for thinking Davante Adams was going to have more touchdowns than Jimmy Graham. He's got twice as many as he does right now and about 5 times as many receiving yards. So, I don't know, man. Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb also had touchdowns here, and that shows you how many weapons that Aaron Rodgers has. Randall Cobb can see another uptick if Rodgers loses some mobility as well.
I nailed all my ice picks this past week. I'll start you off with the one that I teetered on but said specifically still play him. Saquon Barkley, I said, wasn't going to have a good game. He did have a good game. It all came on one run. It all came on one run, and that's exactly why you play your studs. guys you draft in the first and second round, especially the first 3-4 weeks of the season, you don't even think about it. You just plug and play them. So he finished with 18 carries for 106 yards and a touchdown. Take that one play away where he's dodging people, stiff-arming guys, showing why he's the number two overall pick in the draft this past season. He had 17 carries for 38 yards. But that's exactly why you play your studs. So just be wary of those guys moving forward in certain situations. My other ones here, LeSean McCoy, I told you to sit him. 7 carries for 22 yards, 1 reception for -1 yard. Just absolutely awful game for the Bills. And moving forward, you know, McCoy is probably still an okay flex play. It's not going to be like this every week. But
yeah, he's still going to get volume.
Don't start any Bills. I mean, don't start quarterbacks. Don't start wide receivers. Don't start tight ends.
Benjamin looked like garbage out there.
If you want to start McCoy in your flex, you're still doing okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had for I told you so was those Packers, man. That was the biggest one that I wanted to bring in here. And I still hold true to it. Now, we'll have to keep an eye on the Aaron Rodgers injury. And if he's out for any amount of time, that will obviously, I mean, it might derail their entire season and the fantasy value of a lot of their players, but
it's just bad for everybody. It's bad for football. It's bad for fantasy. Even if you're a Bears fan, I have a couple other told you so before we take a quick break. 49ers backfield. I said, just completely avoid it. Alfred Morris, 12 carries for 38 yards. Matt Breida, 11 carries for 46 yards. 1 reception for 5 yards. I would say going out of this, that moving forward in a good matchup, Breida is the one to own based on what we saw statistically and the fact that maybe he's involved in the passing game.
Morris for the big fumble, too. NFL coaches don't like players that fumble.
Exactly. It's just a mess. So, and the other thing, as of for right now, the stashes I mentioned for last week for overall in the season, Kerryon Johnson and Tyler Lockett could be in great situations based on injuries.
Yep.
LeGarrette Blount down with an injury. Again, we don't know the extent of it because we're recording it here on Tuesday morning. But if LeGarrette Blount is out and Kerryon Johnson is starting at San Francisco, he is a flex play next week.
Yeah.
And Tyler Lockett, Baldwin looking like he's going to miss probably a month or maybe more with a sprain or a slight tear of the MCL in the other knee. He came into injured with one knee. Now both knees are injured. So that's it for I Told You So. We're going to take a quick break here on the Fantasy Flex on 92.9thegame.com. Coming back with our waiver wire pickups of the week and our fire and ice picks for week two. Game.com. It's your fantasy sports podcast. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson. As you hear by the music, man, I miss Game of Thrones. Ready for that to come back. But
soon. Well, soon-ish. What do we got? Like another like 7 months, 8 months?
It's supposed to
be spring of 19?
Yeah, spring of 19, and they're supposed to all be like hour and a half to 2 hours. But
they said that last year, though. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyways, this is our fire and ice segment. We'll start off on the positive. We'll start off with our fire picks. These are guys that maybe they didn't have good week ones. Maybe you're concerned about their usage moving forward. Maybe you're not really sure what to do. Maybe they're a flex play. But I'm going to kick it off here with quarterback Deshaun Watson. He is at the Tennessee Titans. Titans already very banged up. They had an awful week one, losing at Miami. They made Tannehill look good, which is special, you know. And Watson really struggled in the opener at New England. And again, you're playing at New England, a really tough place to play. First game off the ACL tear that he had last year, he wound up with 176 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, but very promising. Did have 40 yards rushing, so that looks good moving forward. And I just think Will Fuller should be good to go week two. I think Hopkins is going to eat against the Titans, and I think Deshaun Watson bounces back in a huge way with, you know, maybe that 3-4 total touchdown type of game and winds up being a top three, top five quarterback next
week. Deshaun Watson is another one of those players where we want to just tell you to pump the brakes, not freak out about his week one performance. And if you know, if the manager that you have in your league that has Deshaun Watson, because he likely spent a high pick on him, is starting to freak out a little bit, this would be a time when I'm trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is no fluke. The Patriots defense is probably a little bit better than everybody expects. So I think Deshaun Watson, I think you're right, is going to have a great season and a very, very nice matchup this
week. I'm already working on that scenario as we speak, Bo, in a situation where I've got bad quarterback play. The other thing to consider here, the one issue, and we have to keep an eye on it, is that Texans O-line didn't look great, but hopefully they figure it out. And I think a big week is in store, week two for Deshaun Watson. Who's your first fire pick over there, Bo?
Give me some Tyler Lockett, man. You know, they're playing Chicago, and I know about Khalil Mack and his, let's see, strip and a fumble and a fumble recovery and an interception and a touchdown. Was that like the first time that's ever happened in a half ever, I think?
Beast, yeah.
All right, so that's probably his best game of the season, although he is a former two-time defensive player of the year. I'm aware of the fact that the Bears' defense is going to be good, but the Bears gave up 286 yards through the air and three touchdowns to Aaron Rodgers. Now, you might be saying this is Aaron Rodgers. Okay, it was hobbled Aaron Rodgers for the second half, primarily when that comeback was happening. Russell Wilson is no fluke, okay? So you've got the MCL tear to Doug Baldwin on the opposite knee of the one that he said is probably only going to be 80%. So you've got one that's only 80% but healthy, and then one with an MCL tear. I don't know that Doug Baldwin has that much of an impact on this season, period, even after he comes back. Tyler Lockett had a great game yesterday. You can look for that to continue. He's going to be the favorite target of Russell Wilson moving forward.
And he's one of those guys, as you saw on Sunday, I mean, it just takes one play. He's a one-play kind of guy. Yep. He might have two catches, but one of them might be for 70 yards and a touchdown. I'm going to go receiver for my second fire pick there as well, Bo. Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams at Buffalo. Now, Mike Williams didn't play a lot in the first half versus Kansas City. It didn't get a lot of looks, at least, but he wound up being a go-to target for Phillip Rivers in the second half when the Chargers were trying to play catch-up. He finished with five catches for 81 yards, and he just flat-out looked better than Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin. They had drops in the first half. I think Tyrell Williams scored a touchdown, but he looks like he's going to be the number two target moving forward. And remember, last year, he was out with a back injury. He was the number seven overall pick in the draft. Like, this is no slouch. This is a guy who is going to be a big part of this offense moving forward. And I think he is a strong flex play here in week two.
I'm on board with that as well. And I also like some Sterling Shepard versus the Dallas Cowboys this week. You know, Odell Beckham had 111 receiving yards last week. Dallas Cowboys gave up 160 yards to Cam Newton, which for a Cam Newton game, you know, Cam Newton had two games last year over 300 yards, over 300 passing yards. That's kind of what he does. He had like 40 yards on the ground. Eli Manning's a much better pocket passer than Cam Newton is. Eli Manning will chuck the ball for 300 or 400 yards on any given Sunday. So with the Dallas Cowboys having to focus so much on OBJ, I can look for Sterling Shepard to have a pretty good game here in a tasty matchup of somebody that you probably drafted really, really late, and it's probably on your bench right now. You know, so roll Sterling Shepard out there in a flex, or if you got into some injury trouble this week, maybe you had a Doug Baldwin or something like that, and Tyler Lockett's already gone or was owned. Start Sterling Shepard this week with confidence versus the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm right there with you. He was actually someone I considered in my fire picks there. He was going to be my fourth guy, but we typically only do three. We might give you four or five. It just depends on the week. My last one is an interesting one. I'm kind of going out on a limb here. We know he's banged up a little bit. I'm going to stay right here at home. Running back Devontae Freeman against the Panthers, I feel like he's going to have a big bounce back game. I think the Falcons are going to want to try to come out and establish the run, not saying that they will be able to do so against the Panthers, but I think they're going to make that a purpose, especially the way that Matt Ryan looked in week one. I mean, Devontae Freeman, six carries for 36 yards, three receptions for 14 yards week one against Philly. So definitely uninspiring and someone that you're probably down on after week one, but go ahead and fire him off against the Carolina Panthers.
I'm all right with that. This is a game that the Falcons have to win. All right, you don't want to go into a Saints game with the Saints even coming here down 0-2. Neither do the Saints. You know, so this is a very big division matchup because the Carolina Panthers won in week one. You know, if the Falcons do happen to fall behind in this game, though, that's where they're going to use a lot of their running backs in the pass game, too. So I can see a big game for Devontae Freeman here. I like Cooper Kupp again this week. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals, who have some holes in their secondary. One of them is not Patrick Peterson, but Patrick Peterson typically does not play in the slot. He's going to be up against Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks. You know, take your pick. But I know who it's not going to be, and it's not going to be Cooper Kupp. The Arizona Cardinals give up a lot of yards to tight ends and slot receivers. So feel good about rolling Cooper Kupp out there again this week. And I've got one more that I'm probably going to be on just start him for the rest of the season maybe. And it kind of goes into my bold prediction segment that we had last week. I'm starting Josh Gordon in a few leagues this week. The Saints secondary is not going to play like they did last week. You already said that. But Josh Gordon is Josh Gordon. He is a phenomenal talent. He did come in when they needed him to last week. Hugh Jackson said he was going to be on the innings cap or whatever. I think that's going to start to kind of go away. They probably will be playing from behind in this game, which is what we expected of the Bucs too. But if the Browns are playing from behind and having to throw the ball a lot with Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod Taylor does throw a pretty good deep ball, and that's Josh Gordon's route. You know, we said Jarvis Landry has a route tree. Josh Gordon has a route, you know, so, and it's go. So I like Josh Gordon this week and moving forward as a where'd you draft him?
I'm right there with you. He looked good in his limited action, and I think he's someone that's just going to get more usage moving forward. Again, we were saying a little bit earlier on in the show, one of the reasons they didn't play him too much is because he's dealing with a tight hammy and it's cold weather. Well, guess what? You're in a dome in the bayou,
on turf.
So it's go time. And that wraps up your fire picks.
Yep,
so we're
going
to move on to our ice picks, and this is something I like to do just to kind of think about in general. Last week, I gave you the 49ers. Don't play anyone in their backfield. This week, I'm giving you the Colts. Jordan Wilkins, he looked okay. Nyheim Hines, they kind of had an RBBC kind of a situation. Yep. That's running back by committee for you, those of you who don't know out there. Hines caught some passes. Wilkins, I think, wound up with like 40 rushing yards, 48 rushing yards, something along those lines. Marlon Mack should return.
Yep.
This is going to be a combination of three guys, and they're going up against Washington, at Washington, who looked very impressive. Granted, they played the Cardinals, but traveling cross-country, East Coast team, going West Coast, and they handled the Cardinals. They made David Johnson look pedestrian, so imagine what they're going to do to the trio of Wilkins, Mack, and Hines. I wouldn't start any of these guys in week two.
Yeah, until, you know, neither one of those guys stood out. Hines had more passing yards. Wilkins had more rushing yards. You're going to throw Marlon Mack into this situation. It is muddled is the ideal term for this backfield. And I'll give you another one that's going to be somewhat muddled, at least this week. It's going to be the Seattle Seahawks defense or backfield also. Chris Carson, Rashad Penny. Chris Carson got most of the touches last week. Rashad Penny was involved. Until one of these guys, unless it's a great matchup, kind of takes a hold of that backfield, I don't want anything to do with them, and especially this week versus Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears. That bottled up completely the Green Bay Packers running game last week.
Were you surprised at how much Penny was used in week one based off of coming off the finger injury, gaining the weight?
In the preseason for Chris Carson? Yes.
Yeah, it was very strange. So I think it's promising for Penny. I'm also hyping him up a little bit because in the one of the leagues that Bo and I are in together, he's got Chris Carson, I got Rashad Penny, and I'm trying to deal him to him. So I'm going to talk him up a little bit over the next couple weeks.
I actually have pulled that off yesterday in a trade where I had to replace Delanie Walker. I ended up trading for Rashad Penny in a league that already had Chris Carson again. You want the Seattle backfield, you just don't know who it's going to be. If you can get control of both of them, if you have the roster spot to sacrifice there, it's a worthwhile thing to do. I just wouldn't start him this week versus the Chicago Bears.
I'm going to stick with the running back here, Marshawn Lynch at Denver. He had 11 carries for 41 yards and a touchdown Monday night. Two receptions for eight yards, which is promising, actually seeing him catch a couple passes there as well. But it was almost all in the first half, and Denver is a team, I think, that's going to sell out and stop the run in this game and force Carr to beat them. I think they're just going to go all out. And because Gruden looked like he wanted to establish the run in the first game in Monday Night Football, and I just don't see Lynch scoring. I see him with probably similar yardage, maybe 40 yards, and he's someone, if you're kind of between, you know, him and a guy like, you know, we gave you like a Mike Williams in a flex spot, if you're in a situation like that, or like a Kenny Stills, or you know, someone of those borderline guys, I would go ahead and sit Lynch this week and not worry too much about the touchdown he scored in the first week.
So I'm going wide receivers here, and I'm going with multiple wide receivers. I'm going with an entire wide receiving, I guess, duo, trio, however many of them you want to throw out there. And that's part of the problem, and it's going to be the Saints wide receiver that's not named Michael Thomas. We have no idea who that's going to be. None of them really had that great of a game last Sunday, because the number two receiver on the Saints on Sunday was Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, with as good of a game as he had, only had like eight rushes. All right, they lined him out in the slot. They lined him out wide. He had a lot of catches and a lot of yards after catch in this game. Michael Thomas had 16 receptions for 180 yards. That was a Saints record for a single game. I'm not saying the Saints aren't going to score points. You can throw a dart after Kamara and Mike Thomas at who the one that might have a good game is, and none of them might have a great game. You might look at three catches for 40 yards for Ted Ginn. Traquan Smith might finally show up, as he was non-existent in week one. Traquan Smith might have two or three catches, four catches for like 60 yards and a touchdown or something like that. It's just too wishy-washy for me to kind of get on board with any of those guys. Ted Ginn's being played in a slot in a wide receiver three spot. I want nothing to do with it.
Man, Kamara's a player, dude.
Isn't he, though?
He's a player.
He's starting to make me regret taking OBJ in that 8th, 9th, 10th spot and going with him, though.
I got Kamara'd in a few leagues. I was going up against him two of the three leagues that I wound up losing in this week. It was because of Alvin Kamara. Moving on, I'm going to stick with running back. And, you know, I'm going to try to give you one a week where it's a top guy to just say watch out for. I gave you Saquon Barkley last week. We were just talking about it earlier in the show. Besides that one big run, he had 17 carries for 38 yards. And you play him because of that one big run. David Johnson this week, he's at the L.A. Rams. Again, going back to Marshawn Lynch, sure, he had some success Monday night and all of that against the Rams early on. But this Rams squad, they're going to be focused and locked in on stopping David Johnson. He is the Cardinals' offense, along with Larry Fitz. Yep. Always pay homage to Larry Fitz because he's been around for so long doing his thing. But David Johnson had a really mediocre week one until he salvaged it with a late touchdown and what was a blowout game. I just don't see a big game here from David Johnson, and hopefully he's got some better matchups moving forward.
See, I'm all the way on board with that call, too, and this might be a situation – whereas if you own Steelers running back, you might play him instead of David Johnson because they've got a great matchup where David Johnson does not. Because the last player I have on my ice list is going to be Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, or the Rams defense, rather, shut down Amari Cooper yesterday because they could. All right, and you're looking at Aqib Talib, you're looking at Peters. Neither one of them are probably going to shadow because they don't have to. They're both that talented. That was versus Derek Carr. I would agree that, I mean, or would you agree? Would most people agree that Derek Carr is probably a better quarterback than Sam Bradford at this point in their careers?
Yes.
So this Rams defense, I'm telling you, you don't want to really mess with it at all. Now, it's not likely that you're going to bench David Johnson since you took him in the first round and very, very early. But if you've got a James Conner on your bench and you've got a decision where maybe you have enough depth where you can start Conner and somebody else, I don't know, man. It's something you have to think about. I think Larry Fitzgerald, I like his floor still as a PPR play because he's got that high of a floor. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals do much of anything as far as moving the ball versus the Los Angeles Rams this week.
One quick question for you before we move on to our waiver wire pickups, our final segment here of the week. If you got James Conner, are you selling high?
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the Le'Veon Bell owner to do it to. Either that or I might even try going to the Le'Veon Bell owner and see if the Le'Veon Bell owner might want to sell low. You know, but I do think that Le'Veon Bell ends up playing in the NFL. I don't think the Steelers are going to trade him. At some point, he's got to come to his senses and just sign the tender and play for the 15 mil, or I guess it's 13 now, you know, or 13.5 after he loses 900 grand. I do think this is a situation that you need to take advantage of. You're not going to be able to rely on James Conner the entire season as an RB1 in your fantasy league. And after this week, after he just blew up, and he has another pretty good matchup this week, I would definitely be trying to get what you could for either him or Le'Veon, or try to acquire the pair, you know, because they are eventually going to be on the same team again. Now, once Le'Veon comes back to the Steelers, we assume that's going to happen. James Conner might still get some pretty good run here because of his successes, but I think having both of them and getting rid of one of them for what you can get is probably the best call right now.
If you feel strongly about his week two matchup, which you should, you might want to hang on to it for one more week because that Bell owner is going to get more desperate and more desperate, and the value is only going to go up. We're going to move on to our waiver wire pickups of the week. These are in no particular order, kind of just jotted down about seven or eight names here, and Bo and I are going to bounce back and forth on this, but we're going to start off with someone we mentioned briefly earlier on in the show, Philip Lindsay. Who is this dude? Who is this guy? I literally had to do the whole Google, who is this? Okay, where is he from? Oh, Colorado. Okay, so he played his college ball at Colorado. He looks extremely fast, someone who earned his job in training camp, was also part of the passing game, wound up having as many carries, and I think the same exact yards as Royce
15
Freeman.
15 for 71 on both of them.
Exactly, but he had the 2-for-3 catches with the touchdown there as well. Philip Lindsay is probably the top priority as far as pickups go this week for me.
I've got Philip Lindsay on my list, too, and I'm going to get to another, who guy again? That's going to be Will Disley. Where was Philip Lindsay during training camp? Exactly.
I don't know.
Goes to show you that teams do not show you what they want to show you in training camp.
Not at all.
So anyway, Will Disley, tight end for the Seattle Seahawks, is actually the one who ends up leading the Seattle Seahawks in receiving yards, 3 catches for 105 and a touchdown after Baldwin goes out. Tight end for the Seattle Seahawks, Will Disley, keep him on your radar and go ahead and try to pick him up. We don't know how much run he's going to get for the rest of the season, but with Doug Baldwin going out, that's 80, 90 catches that have to go somewhere if he's out for any length of time. We don't think he's going to be very effective for the entire season.
I thought I was being so smart. And two or three different leagues, I picked up Nick Vinette, who is supposed to be this tight end for the Seahawks that
and
was going to be the
guy. And
he
still might end up being that. It's only week one. But Will Dissly got the run here.
Who is Will Dissly? Who's Nick Vinette? Who are these guys? But yeah, Will Dissly, especially like we mentioned with these tight end injuries. I mean, if you're the Greg Olsen owner, or the Delanie Walker owner, Dissly needs to be one of your top pickups. And we'll stick at the tight end position. Jared Cook looked like that dude last night on Monday Night Football. North Gwinnett's own Jared Cook. If Gruden's going to use him like this, I think a lot of it was kind of a matchup situation and Cooper being shut down and Cook was open. But Cook has always had the tools, and if they want to feature him in this offense, I mean, he's got a chance to be the second best receiver on this team behind Amari Cooper since Jordy Nelson's just kind of in that older part of his career.
Now, up until yesterday, I was a Jared Cook owner in my Dynasty League that I traded for Delanie Walker in. I included Jared Cook. Now, this is before this game. I included Jared Cook in a trade where I ended up acquiring Jack Doyle. All right, then he goes off like this. And being a Jared Cook owner, and I've had him for about the past three seasons since he was with Green Bay, Jared Cook's going to do this to you. Now, we haven't seen him on the same team with Gruden. Jared Cook's going to do this to you, and he's probably going to do this to you like two more times. But he's going to keep you just in there to where you're starting him every week. Next week, it'll be two receptions for 24 yards. The week after that, it'll be three receptions for 18 yards. The week after that, right when you're about to bench him, you're going to put him on the bench and he's going to do four receptions for 80 yards and two touchdowns. This is Jared Cook. But we haven't seen him with the John Gruden offense, so he might, you're right. They can utilize him. He's got the tools. He barreled over Aqib Talib last night without and just showed no mercy. I'm surprised Aqib Talib even got up after that hit. So I'm not fully on board. If you need a tight end to replace somebody like a Delanie Walker or somebody that got hurt and Cook's out there, go for it. Just don't be surprised if he lets you down a few times. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so for those that are out there, the ones who do have Olsen and Delanie Walker, very highly owned tight ends who are obviously in a bad spot now and won't have those players moving forward, are you taking for rest of season, and this could change after next week. I mean, things change week to week here, and we're allowed to change our mind. But are you taking Dissly or Cook off the waiver wire?
I would actually be looking out to Arizona. What's the Arizona tight end's name?
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Ricky Seals-Jones is probably who I would be looking for on the waiver wire over both of those players. Now, I know with the big game last night, Jared Cook is going to be the more tastier option. But Ricky Seals-Jones could be a guy, especially in a week where they have a horrible matchup that Sam Bradford is looking to dump the ball off to. So keep him on your radar also. And it's going to depend. All three of these guys are probably going to be snatched up today or tomorrow whenever waivers process. So what I would do if I'm you is you take that player, you put him in any order you would want to go in. I would say probably Seals, Jones, Cook, and Dissly, just because we haven't seen anything from Dissly. All right, put a claim in for all three of them with the player that you're wanting to get rid of. Do the same player, all three, do a pickup for all three tight ends, getting rid of the same player because they're going to cancel each other out, obviously, when the same player's not on your bench, just to make sure you get one of them if you're dealing with a Delanie Walker or a Greg Olsen injury.
That's a very good point. And just a general piece of information moving forward with waiver wire pickups, make sure that you put in multiple claims because you might not get that one guy. Like Bo just said, if you need a tight end, put a claim in for all three, rank them how you feel best, go with your gut because they all could do stuff moving forward, but make sure that you put in multiple claims at your waiver wire position because you might put in one and two and go, I didn't get this guy, I didn't get this guy, and someone else got your second or third option, and you may not have put him in. Next guy who is a must-own, especially if you are a Leonard Fournette guy, or a Leonard Fournette owner, I should say, T.J. Yeldon, the backup running back there in Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette came out of the game with a hamstring injury. Doug Marrone made a really weird comment after the game about how it was in – the hammy problem he had was in the good part of his leg, which I don't know what the hell that means. But either way, the Jags are a run-first team, a defensive-minded team, and it doesn't matter if it's T.J. Yeldon or the ghost of Barry Sanders or whoever the hell is in your back. They're going to want to run the ball, and Yeldon is going to be that guy. If I were to guess right now, I don't think Fournette plays on Sunday, and I think Yeldon's a big pickup. Start and play week two.
Yeah, and it was made pretty apparent that T.J. Yeldon was going to be the guy with Fournette in the game, as he got almost all the run. So T.J. Yeldon now, for me, stands out as one of those handcuffs that you have to own. If your running back goes hurt, like with the James Conner situation, or is not there, and there is a clear-cut guy that's going to be the guy after he goes down, then pick him up. But if it's going to be a running back by committee, like without in Denver, if one of those guys were to get hurt, I kind of don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to look elsewhere. But it looks like T.J. Yeldon will be the handcuff for Leonard Fournette. You know how hamstring injuries can linger the entire freaking season. This might, depending on how severe it is, this might trouble Leonard Fournette for the entire season, man. Last one I've got on my free agent pickup is going to be a name that you do know who might have burned you last year along with a lot of other Giants wide receivers, and that's going to be newly acquired Seattle Seahawks receiver Brandon Marshall. I don't know that Tyler Lockett's out there on a lot of waiver wires in a lot of leagues. Tyler Lockett would definitely be the guy of the Seattle pass catchers that I want the most, but it looks like Brandon Marshall might be healthy. Caught a touchdown pass yesterday, 3 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. That's pretty useful, you know, on the back end of a starting rotation. So Brandon Marshall is likely out there in your league, be it ESPN or Yahoo. Look for some Brandon Marshall if you had some pass catchers go down yesterday. I really like that guy.
You know what's probably my favorite part about week one of the NFL season? It's 2018, and Adrian Peterson and Brandon Marshall
are relevant
yeah. fantasy football players, guys that are flex plays moving forward, especially over the next few weeks. We'll see if AP can double down and follow up his performance. He got a lot of carries there in week one, and that's how he started his Cardinals career last year, coming out of the gate with 20-plus carries and over 100 yards and looking like old AP. It would be interesting moving forward if he can keep up this pace. Two other guys I want to mention real quick, and then we'll wrap up today's show. Philip Dorsett, he is a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, a former first-round pick that people kind of forget that he was picked that early in the draft. I still think Hogan and obviously Gronk are more valuable moving forward. Dorsett did catch, I believe, all 6 or 7 of his targets, however many. He caught every ball that was thrown to him. He's someone you do have to pick up, especially if you need help at wide receiver, but don't expect him to do the same thing week two. He's someone that might be playable up until Julian Edelman comes back, but he's just someone to grab, especially if you got burned by somebody else. Or
6 or 7 targets by Tom Brady shows that Tom Brady trusts this receiver. So the Patriots are going to put up offensive numbers. Not a bad guy to stash on your bench.
I'll leave you with this one. I'll ask Bo this question. If you need a quarterback, if you're in a bad situation, did you see enough on Monday night from Sam Darnold to pick him up and potentially play him moving forward?
I think I saw enough to where I would at least stream Sam Darnold. All right, I'll play him versus the matchups. We'll see what this Detroit Lions defense. They were a good defense last year. So is it the talent of Sam Darnold or was the crappiness of the Detroit defense? Maybe a little bit of both.
What a weird game.
If I'm in a situation where I need a quarterback, I would rather have like a Tyrod Taylor and a Sam Darnold on my bench, and I would stream him based on the matchups. Tyrod's going to put up some good numbers because he runs. You know, he even did that Sunday. He looked pedestrian on the field in the quarterback position, but he did run a lot, so he got you some pretty good. He had like 18, 19 points on the day.
I'm right there with you as far as he's in that streamable quarterback situation along the lines of, like you mentioned, Tyrod Taylor, Case Keenum, Alex Smith. Alex Smith's probably better than those guys, but that type of like lower end, you know. But I do value him more than like Ryan Fitzpatrick moving forward. That's the other thing. Real quickly with Ryan Fitzpatrick, we kind of joked about it. But even if you are high on Ryan Fitzpatrick and need him to stream moving forward, here's their next 4 weeks. Eagles, Steelers, Bears, and a bye week. So good luck with that.
Still no guarantee that he gets his job back in 3 weeks.
Exactly.
This is Jameis's job. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to throw for 400 yards this week. We know that for a fact, playing the Eagles or any other team for that matter. Don't let the magic fool you, man. Don't fall for it. Another note on Adrian Peterson, who you brought up. I think AP is another great sell-high candidate right now. It's exactly how he started out his Arizona Cardinals' short career last season. Ended up going down with injury. You can't deny the age on his legs. That is a real thing. All right, and if the Washington Redskins think they're going to go in there and give him 20 carries a game, he will wear down at some point.
That's going to wrap it up for us today here on the Fantasy Flex, 92.9thegame.com. I'm Brian Gephardt, Bo Johnson. Make sure to get those waiver claims in. Try to make those trades that we mentioned. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.